Take your Bibles now, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, one verse tonight as we continue a study of various subjects that are listed in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom, it is a book of wisdom, and wisdom is the winning way. It's the wise way, and that's the way to have victory in the Christian life. And tonight we want to deal with the subject of strife, getting rid of strife. Proverbs 20, verse 3. The Bible says it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. It is an honor for man to cease from strife. The scriptures say a lot about that, especially in the book of Proverbs. What does the word strife actually mean? It's talking about being competitive. It would indicate brawling or fighting or discord or contention. Things that sometimes we find in our families and in our churches, certainly in our society. But here's the thing about it. The Bible teaches that strife like that is sin. It's a sin. And therefore, God put it in His Word for us to deal with. Proverbs 17:19. Listen to the wording of it. He loveth transgression, that's sin. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. If you love strife, you love sin. If you love sin, you love strife. They go together, according to Proverbs 17:19. And he that exalteth his gate, or himself, seeketh destruction. And so, according to the Bible, strife is transgression. It is a revolt against God in God's will. It is a sin. Now, what are some of the causes? One is wrath and anger. Wrath and anger cause strife in the Christian's life. Again, Solomon said in Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man, and again, always, that's generally generic, talking about a wrathful person, stirreth up strife. A wrathful, mean, mad person stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger, would that describe us? He that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Strife is a sin. He that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. One thing that causes strife and anger and wrath and anger is the preaching of the truth. And as a matter of fact, if you study the life of Christ, you'll find out that he was probably the most controversial or one of the most controversial people that ever lived. Why was that? Because he was truth, and obviously being truth, what did he preach? The truth. And because he preached the truth, people didn't like it. They didn't want to hear it, and it created strife, especially among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Somebody said that the Word of God is like a Geiger counter. And you can take this Geiger counter and run it over the congregation. And as you run it over the congregation, you can find out who are genuine Christians and who really are not. It's sort of like that because it's the Word of God that produces the results. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, I was reading and studying for this and ran across something that he told a young preacher on one occasion. This young preacher was having trouble, and Dr. McGee told him that when he was a little boy, he would have to go out to the barn sometimes, and he would go out to the barn after it was dark. And he would go out in those days with a lantern. And he said, when I would go in the barn with that lantern with a light, then the rats would run for safety, and the birds that were roosting would begin to sing. And so he said, don't worry about it when you have some problems, because if you preach the Word of God, sometimes you're going to have some rats running for cover, and you're going to have some birds that are going to start to sing. Amen. So run that Geiger counter out over, and whatever the response is, that's the way it has to be. And a lot of people just don't like the plain Word of God. That's the reason they go to liberalism. I read last night, I think it was in the Sword of the Lord, and somebody had already told me there's something like 2,500 churches that are empty up north in one of the states there. And the reason for that is they got away from the Word of God. In fact, I was talking to Brother David Isbell, one of our pastors in the fellowship, and somebody gave him a church up there. And he's thinking about letting a lot of them give them church. They have Catholic churches and Episcopal churches and Lutheran churches and beautiful edifices. They're just giving them away because nobody's preaching the Word in them anymore, and they've died off. If we can get some good fundamental Bible preachers up there and let them preach the Word of God, I believe souls will be saved and we'll see some results. The Bible deals with this matter of strife, and sometimes preaching the truth causes that. People just don't like it. I've had that happen in my ministry. I'm sure anybody here that's a pastor, former pastor, has had that kind of thing that they faced along the way, where simply because you preached the Word, somebody got mad about it. And that happens. Proverbs tells us something about the churning of butter and the bleeding of the nose. And it says in chapter 30, verse 33, "Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter." Does anybody remember those days? How many of you remember churning milk? I used to have to shake that gallon jug of buttermilk until butter came. My side would be hurting before I got through with it. Or that old churn and churning that churn. But surely, surely the churning of milk. Sometimes I thought, is it ever going to turn into butter? But it did. The churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. If you don't believe that, just try it sometime. It works. It'll bring forth blood. So the forcing of wrath is like the churning of butter or the twisting of somebody's nose. The Bible says the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. When we force our way and we force that wrath and we force that strife, then it's going to cause some problems. Another thing he says causes it, and I'm just giving you some examples right out of Proverbs, is frowardness. Frowardness. Proverbs 16:28. Listen to it. "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." That's just the Word of God. Frowardness and whispering. Listen to what he says. The word froward there is talking about changing something or perverting something or habitually opposing something. We use words like, boy, he's ornery. She's an ornery cuss. We use that kind of language, or we say they're contrary. I used to have an aunt who was always telling me that her uncle, my Uncle Harry, said he's so contrary. Well, that's what the word is talking about. Frowardness, contrariness, hard to get along with, ornery, all of that. And sore, as he's talking about here, is the same in the Hebrew. It links right up with the word whisperer. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Somebody said that people will believe it if you whisper it. Isn't that the truth? You can tell them the truth, not whisper it, but if you whisper it many times, they will believe it. Again, Proverbs 26:20, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out." In my case, even when the wood's there, it goes out. But at any rate, where the wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, no whisperer, no gossiper, the strife ceaseth. A lot of the strife that we have in our churches and our families and our lives and wherever we work and all of those different areas that we are connected with goes back to somebody whispering and saying things that they probably do not need to say. And they keep putting a little wood on the fire. Again, Proverbs addresses the issue. In Proverbs 26:21, "As coals are to burning coals." Putting more coals on burning coals. I used to burn coal in order to get our heat back in Virginia. And you'd put the coals in and you'd put more coals on it. The burning coals, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man or person to kindle strife. They just keep on doing it. And somebody who is contentious just stirs it up and keeps strife going on. I am convinced. I've pastored 3 churches in my lifetime, and I'm convinced that people sometimes join the church and stir up strife shortly thereafter. And I'm not so sure sometimes that that's not why they join the church. They come to a church and they say they like it, but within a week they want to change everything in the church. And they begin to criticize everything. I don't know why they would join to begin with. But consequently, many times they keep stirring things up. They say they're interested in the Word of God, but they never seem to really learn it and really seem to be that interested in it. And that can be a real problem. Here's another word that deals with it. And these are all connected in Proverbs to strife. And that is scornfulness. Listen to it again. Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scorner. Throw out the scorner. And what's going to happen? Contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, when he says scorner, the word is the Hebrew word lutes, and it means making mouths. And it's talking about somebody who is jeering at somebody or making fun of somebody or taunting somebody or showing disrespect to somebody. That's what it really means. And any time we begin to show disrespect and we taunt people and we make fun of people, then we're going to stir up some problems. Sometimes that happens in the youth group. Some teenagers begin to make fun of another teenager, and next thing you know, war is on. And it's not only there, but many times I think that that's an area. But he says, don't be scornful. When we make fun of people, when we are making fun of them and jeering them and taunting them, showing disrespect, then we can expect strife to be there and trouble to be there. Another thing he talks about is meddlers, being meddlers. I like this illustration that he gives in a couple of different verses, but Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is when one leadeth, as when one letteth out water. It's like when you turn the faucet on. You begin to let water out. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, leave off. Turn the faucet off. Leave off contention before it is meddled with. Don't do it. Don't fool with it. And Proverbs 26:17, listen to what he says here. He that passes by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. That's a good illustration, isn't it? That's a very sensitive part of the dog. My dog, every once in a while I'm playing with her or something, and every now and then I've grabbed her ears, and maybe unintentionally and sometimes intentionally, just playing with her, and boy, she'll whine and whimper like, let go of my ears. That's what he's saying about somebody that is guilty of meddling in other people's business. Getting involved in business we don't belong in. Leave it alone. Let God take care of it. Because you might as well go get a dog, go get you a pit bull and pull its ears and see how well you do as to get a hold of a Baptist and start meddling in their business. We have to be careful about meddling in business. We don't have any business meddling. And as a result, when we have those problems and meddlers, really it's talking about crossing over the line. And really, it's talking about busybodies. You ever know a busybody? Most of us do know or have known busybodies. And most of us don't like it when they're busybodies. We wish they'd just stay out of other people's business and leave it alone and let the people who are dealing with whatever has to be dealt with, let them work it out and leave the busybodies out of it. But that's sort of not their nature. But the Bible says that causes strife, causes problems when we're busybodies. Another area is pride. When there's pride there, it can cause strife. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. It's the nature of the beast. If we're proud about something and we're proud, we're going to stir up strife. It just comes along with it. And there are a lot of people, including Christians, who are proud and braggadocious and arrogant and self-centered. And they think the sun rises and sets on them and their personality. And God says that causes problems. Proverbs 17:19, He says, "He loveth transgression that loveth strife," back in that main verse. "And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction." When we try to elevate ourselves and lift up ourselves, and we're thinking about ourselves more than anybody else, and it's me and mine and my family and what we do and our accomplishments, all that we have done and who we are, then you can make sure there are going to be some problems with it. And what's it going to bring? Well, he says, you're seeking destruction or ruin or fracture. Now, very quickly, he gives some contrast. That's all the negative part of it primarily, but he gives some contrast. And on the other side, he says that if you're slow to anger, you're smart. If we learn to be spirit-controlled in our temper, no matter where we are, then that's wise. That is smart. And yet, that is an area that is a very difficult situation. I not too long ago, talked to a young man that has been in the ministry and tried to pastor two or three churches, but he was, in my opinion, very, very set on himself, very, very arrogant. And as a result, he hasn't made it. And I happened to talk to him recently, and I was pleased to notice that it seemed like he was changing his ways a little bit. Because he's so gifted and so talented, if he can get this spirit control, I believe he has the potential to build a tremendous work for the glory of God and be a blessing to many, many people. Now, don't try to figure out who it is, and don't ask me, because I won't tell you. But that's just an observation. But I believe that one of the problems has been that problem. But he was so hot-tempered. And then it talks about a person who trusts in the Lord. You see, we don't have to try to go working out everything or correcting everything all the time or thinking it is our God-called business to take care of everybody else's business. Sometimes we just need to get on our knees and say, God, help them. God, work that out. And pray for people. You'll do a whole lot more when you're aware of a situation if you get on your knees and pray about that situation and go to God on behalf of those people than if we meddle or if we cause some difficulties among them, or if we are proud in such a way that we seem aloof to them, or any of these other things that I've mentioned tonight, that's all part of it. And God says in His Word, don't do that. There is another choice. There's another choice. So let God work it out. He says something about a dry morsel in quietness being something that is good. And sometimes that's exactly what we need to do, is get alone with God. Eating that dry morsel alone in quietness is better than getting involved in the fray. I've been in meetings where two preachers disagreed. Now, all of them aren't that way, so don't be too hard on them. It just happens rarely, but I never will forget a business meeting we were having one time. In fact, it was here. Dr. Barber was in that meeting. It wasn't him, but it was someone else. And something was being discussed. And so I remember this one preacher got up and took his coat off and put his sleeves up. He said, "Well, if we'll go out back here, we'll just settle this." And I mean, he just like that. And I thought, oh boy, that's really going to be impressive, isn't it? That really impresses people. Of course, they didn't do that, but he finally calmed down. It's no wonder that he had some problems in his ministry off and on over the years and in some ways. But I'm just saying, God says there's a choice. And then what kind of action? Well, He gives it to us, and it's just as plain as the nose on your face. There's no worrying about it or trying to figure it out. Here's what He says, and that is in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3, cease from strife. Listen to it again. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. It's our honor not to lose our temper, get mad, be proud, be meddlesome, be gossipy, and doing all of those things and stirring up strife. It is an honor to cease from strife, but then the contrast, but every fool will be meddling. If we're foolish, we're going to be meddling. But God says the action is do that. And then He says there's another choice, and that is if somebody is a scorner and a meddler and always causing strife, then God simply says, cast them out. Cast them out. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. I'll be honest with you, I've seen times I was glad some church members went to another church. Don't get mad at me. You know it's true. You probably felt the same way. I don't ever like to lose anybody, but I've seen people so contentious and hard to get along with that they stirred up trouble so often, so much, all the time, that when they left, I said, Lord, thank you for leading them to another church. Any pastor, be honest about it, would tell you that there have been those times. It's never pleasant. It doesn't mean we hate them. It just simply means it's better if they're going to cause trouble all the time. It's just better if they go on. Who wants to have a troublemaker all the time? So he says, if you'll cast out the scorner, in some cases you have to deal with them in church discipline, and contention will go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. It'll help the whole body. And you hate to have surgery, but sometimes it's good to get rid of the diseased gallbladder so the rest of the body won't die. Amen? Amen. And God helps take care of those things. So here's what I'm simply saying tonight. According to the Bible, and it's something we all have to work on, strife is sin. That's what the Bible says. Stirring up strife in any of those ways and causing strife is a sin. You say, well, I don't get drunk and I don't use drugs and I don't fool with pornography. Well, I want to ask you something tonight. Are you causing strife anywhere? In a fellowship? In a home? In a church? Where you work? Are you the strifer? I don't believe that's a good word. But are you the one that's causing strife? What do you do about it? God said, quit it. Just quit it. It's just like we would, if somebody would come up to you and say to you, I have a problem drinking. I have to have a little whiskey once in a while and a Budweiser once in a while. What do you think I ought to do? What would you tell them? Why, us pious, holy Christians would say, stop it. You just need to quit. Just quit it. Well, that's what God says to us about strife. I know that it's a great challenge, but we have to let the Spirit of God be in charge. And I tell you, to help the family, it'll help the church, it'll help anybody in any relationship that you're involved in, if you will work and I will work, be slow to anger and trust in the Lord and get rid of strife. Just stop it. Let's stand, please. Father, we do thank you for the Bible, the holy, inspired Word of God. And although we know Solomon was a human being, we know that his writings were totally inspired of you and controlled by you, and they're perfect. In many, many other verses along with these tonight, you saturated the book of wisdom with warnings about strife. And so, God, help us to not be whisperers, meddlers. Help us not to be proud to cause contention. Help us, oh Lord, to not resent the straight preaching of the Word of God and what the in and obey it and listen to it and not be infuriated or mad. Help us to search our hearts. And, oh God, when we are tempted to create strife or to be strifeful, I pray that you would convict us by the Holy Spirit in the pointedness of the conviction would reach our hearts like any other sin that we may have to deal with. And God, that we would have victory over these areas. Speak to our hearts now. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.